Right now, you're listening to the Azeem Digital Asks podcast, the podcast where I, Azeem, talk to some of the top marketers in the industry, find out everything about them, how they got to where they are today, and more importantly, sharing some really useful marketing tips that will help everybody listening to this become better marketers. Stay tuned for another great episode. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Azeem Digital Asks podcast. Really excited about my guest today. Really excited about the topic today. She's an international SEO consultant, speaker, and author. She's from Arenti, RemotersNet founder. She does Crawling Mondays. God, she does a lot. She does SEO FOMO, or SEO MOFO for some people. EU Search Personality 2018. She is just everywhere, and rightly so, because she's one of the foremost experts in the industry. Very glad to have her on the show, Aleida Solis. Aleida, hello.
Hello, 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 Azeem. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be able to share with you today.
Yes, I'm very glad to have you, and we're going to have a very awesome conversation all about your newsletter, how you've grown it, and give tips for people along the way. I did want to start, however, I normally do it with an icebreaker, but we're going to start with a little bit of sad news. So we're recording this at the time, very recently, someone who I would call a legend in the industry, and that word doesn't get thrown around a lot, Hamlet Batista, sadly passed away very recently, which sent shockwaves throughout the industry. And we were talking before the recording, weren't we? You guys had a very good relationship, and sadly missed your Clubhouse tribute. Do you have any stories you want to share about Hamlet? Anything that would, you know, really help the listeners feel a little bit at ease at this difficult time?
Yes, indeed. It was a very, very sad news to hear about this. Also Hamlet, he was more than just a, let's say, professional contact or SEO that you hear about. But in my case, I had the chance to interact with him and to have dinners with him and to have many conversations with him in the last couple of years, especially when he started to go much more again to conferences, to speak. And for me, he was such a force of nature because he was full of warmth and passion and innovation in every way that he did things. I know that for a lot of people, he, when you mention his name, he's connected automatically to Python and SEO, right? And automating SEO tasks using Python as a language. And he was a pretty much like the leading force of that big trend that you can see now in the industry. And he was the one who started it, right? But beyond that, I have to say that I admire Hamlet because in everything he did, he did it with such a first passion about his job and willingness to share. And the way that he did everything was very innovative, right? So a lot of people, they don't even know about this much because he pretty much share and focus on Python and SEO. But Hamlet, besides being an amazing SEO, he was a businessman and he was an entrepreneur and he has his own company, RunSense, which was not just another SEO tool or another SEO consultancy. It was an edge agile SEO platform tool that works over Cloudflare, using Cloudflare workers to implement SEO configurations that can be otherwise very difficult in certain scenarios. So he came up with this completely innovative solution to the very common issue that we all have about, oh, there are not enough resources to implement SEO changes or to implement that metadata or to implement meta robots or canonical tags, things like that. He came up with this very innovative way to deal with that issue. Okay, let's implement this configuration changes through the Cloudflare workers in order to show proof, show increase, show impact, right, very quickly without having to wait for the typical months of implementation process, etc., until seeing any results. So this shows how creative he was in his approach to SEO beyond Python, right? From a business side perspective and perspective on the way to tackle. And then on the other hand, I was a massive also, let's say, also fan of how the way that he handled and and manage his business, because as many of you know, besides being an SEO, I am also the co-founder of Remoters, which is my remote working website that I founded a few years ago with another SEO friend, with Elisa. And it is a remote work hub. We have a free remote job board, by the way. We're publishing all the time SEO jobs in case you want to start remotely, to start working remotely. So in general, I am I consider myself a fan and evangelizer of remote work, because I think that can change life and have a very positive impact across the world among the people who work like this, right? So in any case, Hamlet also worked remotely. His business was remote based. I had also the chance to interview him for Remoters a few months ago, where he shared his journey as a remote founder and share how he was originally from the Dominican Republic, how he moved he started hiring remote collaborators because of how he realized the limitations that he had to hire when he was still living there. Then when he moved to the US, also he was living very near New York. So he also had all the type of limitations regarding, yeah, the profiles and the budget available, etc. And how he realized like he had all of this pool of amazing potential employees and collaborators living all over the world, and how he actually follow certain best practices, methodologies, etc., in order to work remotely in a very efficient way. So again, this also shows how he was all about pushing boundaries and not allowing the status quo to restrict the way that he performed. And he was all innovation and about identifying all of these additional opportunities in the way he handled everything, right? Not only SEO, but also his business. And the beautiful thing is that he was so friendly. He was so, he had a lot of humility, and he was always willing to share how he was doing it, right? So he was not this type of person who will have great success and keep it to himself, but he was all the time incentivizing others to do what he found to be useful before, to help them in their journey. So I think that this is why also he had such a big impact, because he was so willing to share and in a way that was completely selfless, right? He had time for everybody in every single circumstance, right? Not in only like very specific ones where he will have also a benefit, but in a completely selfless way. So yes, all my respect for his family. He had a wife and two kids, and I will please, I don't know when this is going to be listened, but if it's still going on, Lily Ray, who was a very close friend of his, she started this fundraiser to raise also funds for their family, to help them through this very difficult time. So if you're hearing this, look for it, like in memory of Hamlet fundraiser started by Lily Ray, and the money will be going completely to his family.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So thank you very much for that. That is such a brilliant tribute. And there's just a couple of things that I just wanted to add to that. So I'll put this out in a couple of weeks, and I'll also make a point of dropping the fundraiser link in the show notes as well. I just have two things to add. So we were talking before the show about Hamlet and giving Hamlet a little tribute. There's just two things. So one more recently from me. On New Year's Eve, I put New Year's Eve just gone. God, it just a few weeks ago. I put a tweet out saying I'm reading this book, and it's a book by James Clear called Atomic Habits. Put it out there, and Hamlet responded to me saying, you know, recommended the book, saying it's a great book. So if anybody's looking for a book recommendation that's recommended by the legend Hamlet Batista himself, go and check that out. I'll drop that out in the links as well. But a more powerful story, which I have you to thank for later, is that so me and Hamlet met at Brighton SEO a few years ago. And then fast forward to last year, during the pandemic, I was hiring remotely. So a completely new process for me. I put a message out on Twitter saying, does anybody have any experience of interviewing people remotely? I asked you for some help and support, and as always, you came through, so thank you. And one of the people that you mentioned in the thread was Hamlet himself. And I didn't know that, other than Python, that this is how much strength that he has in the industry. Hamlet sent me a tweet saying, bear with me, I'll get back to you. And then later in the day, I got a DM from Hamlet and it was amazing. It was so long, so detailed, so thorough. Everything that you could ask for in terms of hiring and interviewing remotely, specifically interviewing remotely. I remember reading this and thinking, wow, how kind and how generous this is for somebody that's only, like, we've met each other once. I'm definitely not claiming to be the closest person to him at all, but we've just met each other once, said hello. Such a kind, generous person, sent through so much information, which I'll forever be grateful for. So yeah, as you rightly said, what a brilliant man. I hope he's at peace now, and I hope that his family have all the strength and love and support that they need at this very difficult time. And of course, that our industry thoughts are with them. So may he rest in peace. And of course, I will share the link to the fundraiser, which you've mentioned, in the show notes. Please, please, please check that out. Money cannot replace a lost loved one, but anything helps. And if you're not able to donate at all, please just go and share that to someone who might be able to donate. So yeah, rest in peace, Hamlet Batiste. You will definitely not be forgotten. So, thank you very much for joining me today, Aleida. We're going to talk all about how you've grown your newsletter. But I wanted to grill you, first of all, about remote working. So you mentioned it there. You are someone who is very, very big advocate on remote working. What would you say is your number one tip for combating distractions when you're working remotely?
The first thing I will say is that you should avoid synchronous communication and become asynchronous first. I think that the one thing that hurts the most people who are working remotely, right now we are all stuck at home, but this is an issue that I also had in the past when I was working remotely and was pretty much on the go and I travel a lot, was synchronous communication, using Slack to chat in real time, and that the other side has the expectation that you need to answer right away, right? When sometimes it's not even necessary, but it's about setting communication protocols and the expectations right, and so it doesn't only add you stress, but also it breaks your focus on the task that you're doing, right? And the same not only with chats, but conversations and meetings. Like, a lot of what before were meetings are now being handled as online conference calls, and everybody, and you could see this right at the start of the lockdown, right? I saw a lot of people complaining about, oh, now 90% of my day is full of online conferences. What's the point? Many of these conferences could have been an email or a message, and I could have pretty much had a couple of back and forths and come up with to the same conclusion, right? So unfortunately, it's about the overall alliance and synchronous communications, whether video or only text, whether with too much Zooms or Hangouts or too many Slack messages, tagging everybody, expecting that everybody will be answering right away. I think it's a big mistake, and we should learn to work in an asynchronous way, to set protocols, setting the expectations right, that when to send a message, when to request an actual call that is actually necessary, when sometimes it's not even necessary to request a call, but a message will suffice, and or if it is something complex, a message plus a video recording of yourself going through your screen, doing a screen share, explaining something that is complex, but it does definitely sometimes doesn't need to be necessarily a real-time call or a real-time message, because that breaks the focus of the people. And what I will highly recommend is to, well, talk with your team and come forward with a remote, like, let's say remote-friendly or asynchronous-first communication protocols to establish rules and best practices when using tools that are now very well used by everybody, to set the expectations right. And then on the other hand, I will say, I say this a lot, right? Like, a lot of companies are remote first and were born in this way. They have shared tons of information about this, and we actually have in remoters a lot of resources regarding, yes, which are the main burdens or issues or challenges, or and also we have a post sharing about the best practices and manuals and protocols when working remotely, and we share a lot about these topics and manuals and guides that a lot of remote first companies have shared over the time in this resources, right? So hopefully, and this is the beauty of it, that there's a lot of information already about this. I think it's more about having the willingness and flexibility to change right now, because you cannot expect to just switch physically to work from home or from whatever, and then not expecting to switch the way, you know, your day to day, the way you work, the way you handle things, right? And finally, if in case that for some reason you really cannot avoid on having too many calls, but like I, the other day I was asking, and I saw that a lot of people, most people, they have a couple of calls at least, right? So if you cannot avoid them and they are actually needed for your work, what I would recommend is to have them right at the beginning or right at the end of your day, right? And leave the time in the middle to be able to focus on the actual work that you need to do, that is not, doesn't depend or talk with other people, that where you can actually go and focus on analyzing and or doing recommendations, doing an audit, things like that. Because otherwise, I have suffered from this myself. It's much more difficult and challenging, right?
Yeah, I bet, absolutely. That is really insightful. Thank you very much for sharing that. I could just separate this into two episodes all about remote work now. I feel great. Love this content. I am going to wrap my next two questions into one before I start to pick your brains about the newsletter. So question one is, did you ever have a moment where you thought, do you know what? SEO is the career for me. And then number two is, if you could go back to right at the very beginning of your career, but with all the information and knowledge that you have now, what would you do differently?
Yes, so it was when I was working for the first time at this online marketing agency in Salamanca in 2007. They were the first who gave me the opportunity to start working in SEO. When they hired me, I was hired as a like the web manager, the manager of a network of travel websites, right? And I was the one who was to be in charge and updating, requesting content, coordinating copywriters, monetizing the websites, growing their traffic. So I was the pretty much like the product owner of those websites. And at some point I realized when working as a web manager there, that how game-changing SEO was with this website, how also in the past, before becoming a web manager, which for me already was a really nice position to have, because I was coming from the web, the front end, web development, web designing area. When I was working as a web designer, front end web developer, the first thing that my clients used to ask me is like, how do we grow now the website that you have built, right? So I felt that the what is part that was lacking to me. So this position allowed me to grow my knowledge about affiliates, about traffic acquisition, about everything, social media ads, of course, organic search optimization. This is how I started to learn more about SEO. But then the more and more I focused and started to better understand the power of SEO and how important it was for many other areas beyond purely just traffic acquisition, but to give a good user experience, to match and understand what users were searching for, to connect and to pretty much like open up your websites to a much bigger audience and diverse audience out there. So this opened my eyes. And when I was at that position, I understood, oh my God, SEO is so cool, because it also allows me to continue to be in continuous touch with my web development and front-end web development background while having this marketing layer that I love so much too. So it provided me this mix of activities that I really, really, really enjoy. So I quickly understood that this is how I wanted to focus my professional life much more. And I had the opportunity when one of the SEO consultants who were working at that agency left, and I had already learn a little bit more about SEO. I approach and I was asked also, is there opportunity for me to completely switch to SEO? This is what I will love to do, right? So I went and did it, and this was like a game changing moment for me, for sure. And then regarding what else or what something different that I would have done, I think that in general, of course, I have done mistakes sometimes in the way that I have dealt processes or say no to opportunities. And potentially the only thing that I would have done differently in my career as an SEO was to become an independent SEO or a freelance SEO faster, right? I started working in SEO first at the agency side, then I moved to a couple of positions or three positions in-house, and then I moved back to the agency side. So I had a mix of experiences, and it was until the last experience working for someone else at another company and having this moment of being disappointed about how the project was coming up, right? Understanding that I really needed to have more control with the projects that I was working on. And then I understood at that point already that I had already this level of already brand, let's say, or personal brand recognition. And I had already this number of potential clients coming to me, asking me if I offer consulting services. So at that point, it was so obvious, right, that it was time for me to become independent and do my own thing. But it took probably too much, right? It took like until I was in that very extreme position of, oh my God, I cannot do this anymore. I need to start doing my own thing, right? So potentially that I would have done that. I should have done that faster. It would have been even better, I would say.
Yeah, that's a very good answer. Not very good. It's better than very good. It's brilliant. The reason why I was just thinking as you were talking, I've spoken to people before and they said, I maybe went solo too soon and I should have waited. So it's interesting that somebody like yourself, who's obviously very successful, have said, I would have done it this way, which is really impactful. So thank you very much for sharing that. I wanted to now get into the sort of the meat of the episode, which is around the newsletter SEO FOMO. So tell me about that. Where did the idea to start the newsletter come from?
So I had started a newsletter many years ago. I actually, the first newsletter that I started is like, let's say, like the grandfather of SEO FOMO was in 2015, I believe. And it was something called like Aleda SEO Tips or something like that. And the problem with that newsletter is that I wasn't consistent, right? And I couldn't find, because the way that I was tackling it, it was like, okay, I am going to be sharing SEO tips in general, but I wasn't consistent in time. And sometimes I share it like every week or sometimes every month, sometimes I didn't share it at all after a few months, things like that. I was very inconsistent. And sometimes it's because I had so much work. I wasn't inspired, or I was traveling also and speaking at conferences and writing blog posts. So it was very difficult sometimes to, if you want to share something completely new or be inspired all the time and tips, completely new tips, oh my God, it's sometimes difficult. And then also, of course, like that feeling is like, oh, is this completely new or is this going to satisfy 100% my audience? So I still had this sort of, let's say, usual struggles that you tend to have as a web creator in general, right? So in any case, let's fast forward to early 2020. Every year I always like to test something new, to try something new. So for example, in 2019, that was Crawling Mondays, my video YouTube channel video series that also I have started to reformat to as a podcast too later on. And then last year I was like, okay, what I'm going to test out this year, and I was seeing about newsletter, emailing, etc. So I would say to myself, okay, I need to try this myself, and this is what I'm going to try this year, right? And I started with that, telling myself, okay, what is something or what is an issue or a problem that we all have in this industry? And a very common problem that we have is that it's very difficult to keep up the always news, always updates, always so much awesomeness to be shared all around. And you don't have time even to keep up or to have somewhere that you know that you can rely on going back at some point and say, oh, I remember that there was this article 2 months ago, but I don't know where it is anymore, or something like that. So I thought to myself, I can easily solve this problem with a weekly newsletter that picks up the best, the most awesome resources that are shared out there within SEO, those that are much more meaningful, so like the top news about updates, things like that, or new features, new releases, things like that, on one hand, and then on the other hand, those really, really good guides, handy guides, that I know that these are the ones that I will bookmark. And like this will be also helpful for other people who have the same issue. So I started it like this, making it weekly also, so it is not such a big burden to be like trying to write daily, something like that, right? Because also there wouldn't have been like enough meaningful content all the time that often, right? And for that, we have all the type of publication. So I wanted it not necessarily to feature everything and anything, right? But do a curation work to only feature those top content, top information from every week, right? And this is how this was all like the focus, and I think that at the beginning, potentially people wasn't necessarily, let's talk about this, because I think that a lot of people see me already as a someone who has certain type of authority in the community, whatever. But realistically, if you have asked at the time, it's like, you think that a lady can write a really good, really nice, insightful, comprehensive newsletter about the top in the industry every week? Potentially half of the people will have said no, because they have never seen me write something like this. They have saw me writing or presenting about topics or areas which I am a specialist on, right? But never in this type of context, right? I have never also collaborated like in news sort of websites or covering the industry or anything like that, right? So in any case, this is for you to just to see that it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter the expectations that they have from you. Just focus on doing a really good job and giving the best of what you can, because once that people see this, they will then refer you. And it's very likely that will change their mind, even if they don't like newsletters, right? I have had people after a while saying, oh my God, I never expected you to, you know, that they were honestly surprised that I was able to send that newsletter. So I was, oh my God, thank you very much. I don't know what to say. Thank you very much for I don't know if it is because your expectations of me were so low. Thank you very much. Yeah. But no, but it's understandable, right? So in any case, go do it. I told myself, this needs to be really good. This cannot be spammy. I don't want to be spending also lots of time on design. This should just need easy to read. Easy to skim and to go through and save if you want to save, right? And this is how I have been focusing on trying to make it easier to understand. After the first few weeks, I started to send a newsletter. I started to gather feedback from people. It's like, what will you change? What will you change in terms of design without making it too much about images? I really hate it. You know, I wanted to keep it as if it was a message to a friend, to an SEO friend or a group of friends going through the main SEO news of the week without making it salesy or too much about the design, right? So I asked feedback and I started to incorporate the feedback that was aligned with these goals, right? So of course, a lot of people told me, oh, why you don't add a header? I was like, why? That doesn't make it necessarily more useful to my readers, which was the number one thing, right? So of course you need to take the feedback with a grain of salt and validate if it aligns. This feedback aligns with your own goals and the values and the principles you know you want to keep for that area. And this is applicable to anything in your life, of course. So I started to do this, and this is how I expanded. I have improved. I have tweaked a few things. So now it doesn't only have the top search news from search engines and the releases. That is a section. There is another section of top resources, top guides, in which I try to tag and show which type of article this is. If this is more about technical SEO, more about building, you know, more about content optimization. Then it also has a section of the latest remote jobs in our industry, SEO jobs, digital marketing jobs. And I try to keep this only remote, so it is as available as anybody who received the newsletter without restrictions, right? And because, of course, I love remote work, as you already know. And then, on the other hand, I wanted to start highlighting better those people who are sharing lots of awesome things already in Twitter, and they don't have a lot of followers here yet. So I have this section that is called the SEO FOMO, SEO Digital Marketers to Follow, where I wanted to fulfill this goal. And then another section about the free SEO tool of the week that I have started very lately, because there are so many free tools that are really awesome and very useful out there, and a lot of them are not very well known. And every time that I share about a tool over Twitter, I get so many retweets and it's so shared that I realize, okay, I need to do this consistently in this corner of the newsletter. And finally, it has a non-SEO focused awesomeness section in which I share all of these non-SEO related resources that I have identified out there that change my way to think or improve or really open my eyes in a certain topic that is not necessarily SEO, can be SEO related. And so I added there, right? So it started very, very like simple. If I compare the first edition versus the last one or the last ones, you can see how I have started to add more and more and more, but always with my, let's say, mindset or criteria of keeping it as simple as possible to make it easier to go through it, right?
Absolutely. Brilliant tips there. Thank you very much. You've answered my next question nicely. So I'm going to move on, and then I'm going to put this one to you. So somebody has seen your newsletter and thinks, you know what, I would love to start my own newsletter. What advice would you give to someone who is just about to start out and build up a newsletter list? What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, what I will advise them, for me, a newsletter is like, it's another distribution format, right? But at the end of the day, the core of it is the information that you want to share. And so think about what you want to make your newsletter about. What is it, what people should be willing to click on it, and what you will be sharing. So, and define an underlying topic of it all. So in my case, these are the top SEO news and resources each week. In your case, it can be, even if you are able to come up with, let's say, even tips from your industry. And what is important here is that you know that you can be consistent with them, right? Or if you want to share, let's say, all the examples of the success stories from this or that industry or this or that topic, and what you will do is a curation of success stories out there or examples out there. Be consistent. I am actually registering to this newsletter because I started to register in newsletter to be able to be inspired. That literally what they share is daily. They send a couple of amazing domains that haven't been taken yet and are literally like available, of course, for a minute before someone who receives the newsletter sees the domain and ends up buying it. But yeah. I love this. So I love the creativity of this topic. So literally can be about everything. So we have a newsletter which actually have like an email alert on remoters that pretty much is a newsletter that is sent every daily, right? And it will send an email to the people who have registered to receive job alerts from a given section from the remoters job board. So you can subscribe to receive remote jobs alerts of SEO, of web analytics, of digital marketing, of whatever topic. And if there are any remote jobs within that area that are published that day, they will be sent to you automatically, right? So it's so flexible. So there's so many ways to develop a newsletter and to make it worthy for someone to receive it, right? And to be willing to to subscribe. What is important here is consistency. On one hand, that you send it in a consistent way as they expect. And then on the other hand, is to keep the quality going, right? Like, and to avoid that subscription and that, let's say, loyalty from your subscribers to send spam. And that is the problem. I think is that is why newsletters sometimes and emailing in general can have this bad reputation, because someone at some point registered to receive news from this event and they ended up receiving all of this promotions about these tools or these agencies. Mm. That is not what they signed for, right? So yeah. It is very, and I understand that, of course, this effort to send a newsletter and it needs to be monetized, but I am very, very careful how I do it, what mine, to avoid alienating those users that have trust me with their emails, right? So yeah. what I try to do, that is why I'm very careful. I only feature in my newsletter sponsors or adverts that I know will be attractive and will be useful for the people who are receiving, to the subscribers that that have trust in me. So I only feature those products, those services that I know that will be attractive and useful. And then on the other hand, what I always request this advertisers is that I incentivize that they share something unique, a promo, a discount, an extra testing time, something unique to make it even more attractive and something that is particularly profitable and useful in a very different way and in a much more unique way. So and you see, like, the interest here should be aligned. I want to give the best to my subscribers, and I make sure that the adverts that I feature provide that, right? Without any noise, without any spam, in tools or services that I will be willing to register and receive myself, and I will be happy to receive myself, right? So I think it can be very aligned, which is why, again, I know that there are many ways to monetize newsletters and promote newsletter, and we can talk about that. But something also very important here is that it's the reason why I have, in general, always tried to avoid, and I know that potentially I'm losing here the opportunity to make a few dozens of thousands of euros every year or whatever, doing affiliates, because with affiliates, it's weird, but it feels like if you are being pushed or have an extra incentive for the people to click. I mean, with the advert, people are like literally like paying to be shown and that's it, right? But with affiliates, I'm interested enough. I have been asked this in the past in Twitter, right? It was like 2 weeks ago that I shared how I love Phrase, the content optimization tool that I started to use a few months ago, and how I felt that it was, you know, a new kid on the block a little bit in that area, but how we deserve more visibility and how a lot of people should start using it, because literally their price is also a fraction than many of the tools in that area. And then it was, I paid for the tool. Nobody asked me to do this. I literally did this after, you know, realizing this after a project, and then interacting also with their team and realizing they were so nice too. So they really deserved this love from me. And then I got an answer from a guy in Twitter asking me, it's like, are they paying you to say that? I was like, no. or is this an affiliate link? It's like, no, literally no. I am doing it because I am nice like that, right? I don't know. People sometimes is nice, and people like to be thankful when and want to share the love. Especially in my case, as a business owner, I am always so thankful when a former client refer me to a new client. This is pretty much how I gain new clients from my consultancy, with former happier clients or with current clients that wants to expand even further their projects because of how happy they are. So I really appreciate, as a business owner, when this happens. And also with remoters, it's the same, right? When users refer others or advertisers refer others, right? So this is why I am very careful with affiliates, though, because, you have a certain reputation, you have people put trust in you. So if there are ways to monetize without putting in question that trust, I will try to find opportunities, find ways to do that without having to go that way, right? And the beauty of it is it's so flexible. You can find so many different ways to grow your newsletter, not only in numbers, but also from a monetization standpoint.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Very detailed answer. Thank you very much. I think I couldn't agree with you more about including those sponsored articles there. From my personal perspective, things that put me off when I receive a newsletter is if the newsletter is specifically about one area that I'm interested in, and then there's a random advert in there for just something completely out of touch, like, oh, we're sponsored by this weather monitoring tool, for example, find out what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Completely irrelevant to me, and it just takes away from the natural flow of what the newsletter should be about, and I'm more likely to either unsubscribe or just shove a rule to put it in some inbox, which I'm never going to read again. So that is a brilliant piece of advice. Certainly something people who are starting to build their newsletter list will take value from. We are coming near to the end of this podcast, which is a shame, but I do have a couple more questions for you. So two in one. Where did you get the idea to run the referral competition from? And if you're able to, and you want to give this podcast a bit of an exclusive hint, what are your future plans with SEO FOMO that you're able to share?
Yes. So this is the thing, right? And here's the, I am, whenever I start a new project, I also sort of set like goals for the project, of course, to keep me pushing, keep me focused on the project. Sometimes I am too positive, and I, let's say that I am always, I this is something that characterizes myself. Like, I always try to be positive, but I am sometimes too much. So last year I said to myself, okay, I'm going to grow the newsletter. At the beginning of the year, it had like 1.7k subscribers, and I told myself I'm going to grow it to 10k subscribers by the end of the year. So the thing is, of course, I never expected it to be such a crazy year. I then also, and this is crazy, but last year ended up being so busy for me. And potentially it's because before I used to travel a lot also to events, to conferences, and that a lot of people, and literally I have never been paid, I think, to speak at conferences per se. Like the most that I have gotten from conferences is to be paid for travel and hotels and things like that, right? But so literally this is something that I usually do because I love to connect with people, and this is how I connect and network with people, because otherwise I'm working remotely by myself from my home, right? And that is rather sad to be doing all the time, right? So I love to travel. So this is how I align all my preferences together. But realistically, the way that I do money is through consultancy. So literally, I realized last year when stuck at home all the time that I was all this extra available time to take more consultancy. So I ended up being so much busier, and until it reached a point that I saw that it was even negative, because at the end of the day, of course, you need to disconnect a little bit. And I realized that while traveling, I was able to do that much more often, right? To go and discover new places and taking a few extra days off to go to this additional destination that is very nearby to this other place where you are traveling already for a conference, things like that, right? So literally, I was so busy that until I ended up I was in October already. I was like, oh my God, I only have 7K followers or something like that. And I was being more consistent on growing the subscription before, because, for example, in May, for example, when I realized that I was falling already behind the numbers for the mid of the year, when I was supposed to have 5K, I ran this. There's a giveaway. I don't know if you remember the SEO FOMO 5K giveaway. So I ended up like putting together this package of SEO tools and services that were worth $21K to give away. And it was a success. Thanks to that, I was able to reach the 5K followers or the 5K subscribers, sorry, by July. So a little bit later, but I reached them, right? But yes, in October I realized, oh my God, I'm so falling so back so behind the results, right? So yeah. I started to research a lot, but it was not until early September when I was not swamped enough in projects, when I was like, okay, I have finally been able to test a few tools and ideas, and going through many resources out there, how ideas to grow newsletter. And a few of the ideas were to cross-refer with other newsletters from the industry, like do promotions or even adverts in Facebook. And honestly, it felt like a little bit fake, and I wanted to be more genuine and again align my benefits with the benefits of the subscribers, right? And then I realized that I could run a referral subscription, a rewards subscription for keeping referring more people. And I started testing many platforms until I reached one that was or is stuck is on newsletters, that is called Spark Loop, that is very simple to run, that allows to integrate with major platform, newsletter platforms. So I use MailChimp, and it integrates very well and literally do all of the hard work for you on counting the referrals and allowing referrers to go to a dashboard and check how many referrers they have gotten, or to receive automated emails every time they refer someone, or when they reach a milestone where they need to obtain something back, so they can send me a reply and I will follow up, things like that. So this is how it ended up being. And I honestly, this was a test, right? I was like, oh my God, I'm like, it's already December. I am in 7K subscriber. This cannot be, I'm such a failure. I need to run this, yes or yes, I don't care. Oh my God, it boomed, right? It literally, like the last few months, every month I had gotten like 250 new subscribers or something like that. After the first full month of the referral program, I got 1,000 or more than 1,000 new subscribers that month. It was crazy like wow. That. So yes, right now, let me tell you, right now, SEO FOMO has a total of 9,297 subscribers, still haven't reached the 10K, but I am confident that in February I'll be able to reach the number because of what I mentioned before, right? And I am confident also that with the referral system, I will be able to grow it much further, right? But what I need to come up now is potentially with a new tier, because there have been already 3 people who have reached the 100 referrals. Now I need to come up with the next tier for 500 or something like that to make it something unique. Like, you know, otherwise, like, I would have, if we didn't have the travel restrictions with the lockdown and COVID, right, I would have proposed something so much like crazier. But unfortunately, it is what it is. So I cannot say, let's have a dinner together or a lunch together or a meeting together, and I will share you SEO tips or things like that, right? Because unfortunately, that cannot happen because of the current circumstances. So let's see what I can come up with. But it's certainly something that I expect to, you know, prioritize and promote and continue finding ways to, you know, to make it a win-win type of relationship with subscribers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting for me, like on the outside looking in, to see and watch how you continue to grow this. It's been brilliant.
Yeah. Also, I have, before I forget, and thank you very much for making me realize that I was missing to say this. Somebody the other day asked me, because I think it's very important, right? And I do have quite a few subscribers or followers, sorry, in Twitter, right? I have right now, yeah. I don't know, 83K. And the other day there was someone asking like, oh, what would you prefer? 20K followers in Twitter or 1,000 subscribers, right? And my answer was right away in your newsletter, right? 1,000 subscribers in my newsletter. Mm. I think that social media can be like it's great for like visibility and reaching a broader audience, but it's very hard to keep and bring their attention for action and to do something meaningful that you really, really want. So it's great from a branding perspective. It's great for very top of the funnel sort of interaction. But if you are much more interested on bottom of the funnel sort of interaction, transactional interaction, much more direct, straightforward communication to ask those users to buy something from you, for example, even, right? An email list can be much more valuable, right? So I'm not saying that is one or the other. I will say if you are putting efforts on growing your product, your business, your services, your personal brand, whatever, don't only rely and focus on social networks, but grow your list. There is a saying out there that the two things that you actually own are is your website and your email list. And it's true, right? And I will then really, really, really incentivize people to do that, right? Not only rely on third-party platforms, social platforms to grow their visibility in general, but also to start something unique, different in the newsletter or the email format, right?
Yeah, that is absolutely spot on. And thank you very much for sharing that last bit of wisdom there. Last question from me. We'll do it quick fire. So I'm going to put you on the spot now. If there are, say, three things you want people to take away from this episode, what would they be?
Oh, well, to be creative. I have been thinking a lot of creativity and innovative ways to tackle issues in the last few days, especially because this is a thing that I recognize more about Hamlet, right, that we were talking about before. So it's amazing how this area, as here we think about it, is like you can solve an issue in so many different ways. There's never a single way to solve something, to reach to an answer. And this is something that we saw also, even if you were not a SEO Pythonista or a Python specialist or fan, also he was so gracious about it. He was all promoting Python, but when you spoke with him, he very well understood that there were so many other ways to automatize that task that didn't necessarily rely on Python, right? So this is, I think that is powerful. And I think that in SEO, we need a little bit of more that, because sometimes it feels that it's so black and white, right? Oh, it's only about links, or no, it's only about technical, or it's only about Python, or it's more about, JavaScript or R. It's like, no. There, we should be creative and we should blend them and balance, I think, in our approach, because there's so many ways to achieve the same goal. And sometimes it will be better for you in certain ways based on your own particular context and strengths. So I think that be creative. I think that it's all about creativity and finding opportunities and thinking a little bit outside the box. There's always a way, a different way to achieve things. That will be one of the things. And then is you be you. I think that also we tend to, yesterday there was someone sharing about the success of another people. And I always see people sharing successes regarding growing their agencies, in millions or something like that, or starting a business in this other way, or learning a new programming languages, or doing something cool, right? And I'm so very happy for them, and I celebrate them, because that is a source of inspiration of me. Like, seeing other people succeed should be an inspiration for you, rather than thinking that they are taking something away from you, or it's not a zero-sum game for sure. And then on the other hand, what is important though is that you cannot do everything. Like, everybody should follow their own path and understand what they really, really enjoy and are good at. So, for example, in my case, I know that I don't want to build a multi-million-dollar agency, because honestly, I am not a business person in the sense that I love to run a business and love to manage people. I think that is the most complex thing to do, and you really need to love it, right? To be able to be successful at it. I love talking with clients, and I love to do SEO outlets, and please call me weird, but I love to doing analysis and recommendations and prioritization. And that is why I keep my business as a boutique SEO consultancy with a very handful of people. And I focus on projects that I know that are meaningful and are allow me to grow in many other ways, not in numbers, right, but in complexity and the size of projects for which I will tend to charge more, of course. So identify opportunities, being creative, but never follow up a trend just because it's popular, but always ask yourself, is it something that you actually enjoy? Is something that you actually will like to focus and put hours on becoming unique or provide unique value at it, or a unique approach or a valuable approach to it. Because yes, I think that sometimes we get, that is why we get stuck, or we feel bad, or we feel like, in certain ways stress out, because we see so many people doing so many different ways. But indeed, like, you cannot, definitely you cannot be the best at let's say at coding Python, or the best link builder at the same time, the best copywriter at the same time, the best technical SEO. Yeah. Even, you know, you need to focus on and identify what you really enjoy doing, and what will allow you to achieve your goals, the not only the short term, but the long term ones, and what aligns more to your strength, and align everything together in order to identify what is your real call, and you do you, right? This is what is important. I think that a lot of people are too much focused on what others do, and it's amazing to see that each have found their call. And it's important that instead of you like trying to emulate other people, which is great to get inspiration and input from, but it's important always to validate if that rings true to yourself, right? Because we are all very different at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. That is brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing that. And thank you very much for being such a brilliant guest. As expected, content gold. I can't wait for people to hear this episode. And hopefully they're sitting there with a pen and paper, just making loads of notes, because this has been absolutely brilliant. So thank you very much. If people wanted to find out more about you, Elaida, wanted to get in touch with you, what's the best way they can do that? What's your contact details?
Search Elaida in Google and you'll see me. That is the beauty of not having such a common name. And there is, unfortunately, another, well, even obviously more famous than me, Elaida, that is like a beauty queen from Puerto Rico, who, you know, unfortunately, if you go to Google Images, that is not my body. I wish one day, or not. but at least the organic results are mine, right? So yes, look for me in Google. I am at Elaida on Twitter. I'm also very active in Twitter. ElaidaSolis.com, my Orient team, my consultancy, my SEO consultancy. Also Remoters, my remote work hub, where you can also, this is important, it is completely free to publish your remote jobs there, right? And not only of SEO jobs, but we have a category for customer support, for development, for design, any sort of jobs. You can publish them there as long as they are, they are actual jobs and they are remote jobs too, right? So please go and use it more, because I would love to see it grow in the following years. I am positive that I will.
Brilliant. Once again, Elaida, thank you very much for being a brilliant guest. Really looking forward to putting this out. And thank you very much for taking the time out of your presumably very busy day to spend some time with me and share your knowledge.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It has been a brilliant hour to be able to speak with you like this.
So that was another great episode in the bag. I'm really enjoying hearing from some brilliant people in this industry. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow me on Spotify. Please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you are using. Tell a friend to tell a friend, and hopefully see you for the next episode.